Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
If you have your Evangelism Simplified Guidebook this morning, I want you to turn to the very last page. It says notes, and I need you to write down four numbers for me this morning. Go to the notes section, and I want you to write down four numbers for me this morning. I want you to write down the number 2 on that back page. It says notes. Then I want you to write down the number 0. The third number I want you to write down is a 6. And the last number I want you to write down is a 9. So if you've written down the number 2, 0, 6, 9, you might be saying, "Preacher, why would I write down the numbers 2, 0, 6, 9? Brethren, that is the year 2069. And if the losses we sustained in our congregations pre-COVID continue post-COVID, by the year 2069, there's not going to be a Church of Christ left. From 2015 to 2018, we averaged closing 111 churches of Christ every single year. During that period of time, we lost 18,541 church members annually. It is estimated over the last year, we have seen the closing of 120 congregations of our Lord. Several years ago, one of our Christian universities, realizing that the numbers just don't look good, went to their math department. They commissioned a study. This was done in 2016. And they wanted to know where we're going. And so they looked at the previous years. Then they took into consideration something called age demographics. The demographics of the Church of Christ go like this. 60% of our church members are over the age of 50. 13% of our church members are under the age of 30. They extrapolated from all that data a projection moving forward for the next 25 years. And I want to share with you what that college found. They found in the year 2016, we had just over 12,000 churches of Christ. They said if the status quo remains by the year 2019, we'll have just over 11,000 churches of Christ. If the status quo remains by the year 2022, we'll have just over 10,000 churches of Christ. And then they made their projection 25 years forward to 2049. They said in 2049, that number will drop to 3,000 churches of Christ. Then they went into membership and they said, what would happen to us numerically? They said, okay, in the year 2016, an estimated 1.2 million members of the Lord's church. They dropped it down 2019, if the status quo remains, about 1.1 million members of the Lord's church. 2022, we have just about 1 million members left. What's frightening about their projections is they were spot on. They hit their numbers. Then they said, okay, let's project it out. 2049, where will we be? We'll have about 275,000 members of the church left in the United States of America. Brethren, I don't know if you understand or realize what's happening right now. You're living in a time where we are watching the disintegration of the Church of Christ in the United States of America. And if the status quo remains, if we continue doing what we've been doing, and we continue to get the results that we've been getting, we're going to see in our lifetime, there are going to be those that are sitting in the pews right now. You're going to be alive in 2049. You're going to be here in 2069. And if you didn't like the fact that during COVID, a lot of churches closed their doors and families were forced to stay indoors and worship together. If that was something that bothered your conscience and you missed congregating with the people of God, brethren, if we don't address the status quo, that's what's going to happen. The numbers are just numbers. The math department had no reason to skew the numbers. They just took the data and extrapolated projections. But thank God this morning we're not talking about the United States of America. And thank God this morning we're not talking about a president of the United States. Dear friends, this morning we're talking about the Church of Christ and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so if Jesus wants this, if Jesus in any way has provided us a pattern for church growth, and he has, and his people follow it, these numbers will change. I believe this morning that this does not have to take place. And I have seen a reversal of some of these trends in some of the churches. And I pray God this morning, this evangelism training that we started Friday night, and the great work of the West Huntsville Church of Christ will be part of the change of the trend line, that we will begin to see these numbers altered, because we will not settle with the status quo. In 2018, we started the School of Evangelism. It was something unlike I had ever imagined. My family literally got on the road and we started traveling from one church to another church. We're trying to follow the theme of 2 Timothy 2 and 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou, the faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So let's go through the country, let's go to our churches, and let's train soul winners. Because the Church of Christ is an army of soul winners. And the only way the church is going to succeed is if we awaken the power of the pews and we activate the soldiers in the army. Because there is still enough life in the church for the Lord's church to change course. We have seen it over and over again. From 1947 to 1953, the Church of Christ doubled in size in 7 years. In fact, there was a time in our nation's history where we were growing so quickly that there were literally teams of men, builders, contractors, and they would go from city to city, and all they would do is build church buildings. For those of you who have traveled the landscape of the Lord's church in the United States of America, you have come, no doubt, to those A-frame church buildings. And on the left-hand side are those long Bible classes. On the right-hand side, those long Bible classes, elongated auditoriums. It's like they were cookie cutters. Everywhere you go, you see those church buildings. Brethren, that's because we were one of the fastest religious growing bodies in the United States of America. In fact, I've got something I want to share with you this morning. Because in 1953, when the dictionary committee came together, this is the American College Dictionary, they came to the word Christian, and they did something almost unprecedented. They went into the definition of Christian. They looked out into the nation and they said, listen, we've got to make a change in the definition. There's something happening that is causing us to add something to the definition. So I'm going to turn to the word Christian, and I'm actually going to read right from it because I want you to hear of what they did in 1953. This carried all the way through the 1950s because they had to address it. Are you ready? Here's the definitions. Number one, pertaining to or deriving from Jesus Christ as in his teachings. Number two, believing in the teachings and the religion of Jesus Christ. Number three, pertaining to Christianity. Let's go down to number 12, the last definition of a word Christian in 1953. It's a Campbellite, a member of the Church of Christ. Brethren, you grew so quickly. We were growing all over the United States so rapidly. When the dictionary committee came together and defined the word Christian, they put you in it. I realize that some of you may not understand the term Campbellite. Let me help you understand. That was a term used in derision. It was a term used to make fun of you. And so they would use these terms to make fun of the Church of Christ as we were growing, exploding all over the United States of America. And there may be some parents here saying, well, I'm so thankful that my kids have never been called a Campbellite. Brethren, there's a reason your children are not called a Campbellite today, because most people don't know the difference between the Church of Christ and a Mennonite. They don't have to make fun of us, because we have, in some way, shape, or form, cease to do what we were once the best at. No one was better than the Church of Christ. We went from door to door, from house to house, from friend to neighbor, and we evangelized. Brethren, I have news for you this morning. If we don't arise and evangelize and baptize, we're going to fossilize. We're not going to make it. It's imperative this morning that every child of God and every Christian understand that this is the issue of our time. This right now, we must get out of our pews and we must participate in a congregational evangelism plan. I'm not asking every member of the church to conduct a Bible study. That's not even realistic. Because I realize that every Christian has different talents. But you've got to help. You've got to be part of the plan. You can't sit in the pew and check off your boxes at worship and expect that somehow the church is going to change its ways. I need to tell you something that happened. It was really exciting. 2018 was an incredible year for us. We were the school was growing so rapidly we couldn't keep up with it. The booking started at 6 months out, 12 months out, 18 months out, 24 months out. We were doing 40 of these a year, going from church to church, just trying to help churches evangelize. By the end of 2019, I took some inventory of where we were at. We were averaging almost 3 baptisms every single day. Brethren, I saw the tide turning. In the churches that we were training, we saw something that I didn't know if it was possible in this country. We saw growth. We saw churches that were declining turned the corner. They were growing. Churches maybe that were stagnant, they were growing. And they were growing because of evangelism. Now, there's a difference between kingdom growth and roster growth. Some churches experience what we call roster growth. They're a church, perhaps in a location, and they're very attractive to people. People will come, sometimes drive a good distance just to come to that church. And so they'll see the numbers rise on the roster, and they think they're growing. But that's called roster growth. But you look out for every person that comes, there's a person who's not at another church. Now, I'm not in any way suggesting that's bad. Because I know you want to worship in the most faithful congregation. You want to be a part of a church that's working. Listen, I get that and I'm with you. But brethren, I'm not talking about roster growth this morning. I'm not talking about consolidation. I'm talking about evangelism. When we go to the lost, we teach them the gospel of Christ and we grow. That's what was happening. We got into 2020. We started on the road in January. And it was, I can tell you, it was exciting. We went down to the state of Florida. I can remember pulling into Sarasota. 11 churches of Christ had gathered together. The auditorium was packed. And you could see the energy. You could see the hope in Christians that we can do this again. Then we started traveling again. We ended up in March. Now, I want you to stay with me historically. Because this lesson, I hope, I pray will resonate with you. Because I'm talking about evangelism in difficult times. Brethren, there have been difficult times in this nation throughout its history, and we have grown. We grew during World War I. We grew during the Great Depression. We grew during the Spanish flu. We grew during Vietnam, Korea, civil rights, the feminist movement. We have grown during every major upheaval this nation has faced. The Church of Christ overcame, adapted, and grew. We're in March 2020, and I'm in Linville, North Carolina. The preacher's name is Kelly Brown. It's a good church. Sunday morning, I preached my heart out. And as I finished the sermon, Kelly made eye contact. Tears were dripping out of his eyes, and he came forward. He came right up to me. He kneeled on the floor. The elders immediately responded. All the elders came forward. They surrounded him, circled him, knelt with him. I sat in my pew. I waited. The elders finished talking to Kelly. He got up in the pulpit and he made this announcement. He said, "Brethren," he said, "I have not been an example of evangelism. I have not led this church in evangelism. We have not emphasized it at this church at all. And because of it, this church has declined and declined and declined. He says, from this day forward, it will be different. Pray with me. We got in our car, and we started heading home, and I looked at my wife, and I said, they're getting it. I said, Nicole, they're getting it. I said, the church is waking up. If we can just keep this, we can just keep reaching out to these churches. And as I was traveling home, I got a phone call. The phone call was from my sister, Christina. I picked it up, and I said, hello? She said, hey, Robbie, where are you? I said, well, Chrissy, we're heading home. I'm not sure. And she says, Robbie, don't you know we're in pandemic? Pandemic? I said, well, what do you mean? What pandemic? And she said, don't you watch the news? I said, I try not to. And she says, well, Rob, she says, there's this virus called COVID, and it's just spreading all over the land. And Rob, she says, right now I'm at Sam's, and the line is wrapped around the store. I just want some meat. Rob, you have got to get home and get food. Tell Nicole. I said, well, Chrissy, she says, Rob, do you have any toilet paper? Toilet paper. I said, I looked at my wife. I said, honey, do we have? She said, we had a few rolls. She said, Rob, it's not enough. You've got to go get some right now, Rob. There's a shortage. So we pulled into Alabama, and I pulled into a Dollar General, and we parked, and my wife said, she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting some toilet paper. So I walked into the Dollar General. I took my hand down the aisle. I grabbed it all. I put it in my buggy, went to the cashier. She says, what are you doing? I said, I'm buying toilet paper. And so I said, I went out to the car. I put it into the vehicle. My family is laughing at me. Who's laughing now? Brethren, we just used our last roll not long ago. My phone rang when I got home, and it was the eldership of the Jacksonville Church of Christ. They said, Rob, we need to talk to you. Would you come? I said, I'll be right there. There's nothing in my life that could have prepared me for what was about to happen. I got into the elder's office. It was Alan Webster, Robert Whiten, Homer Smith, Ralph Harmon, and we sat in that room, and they said, there's a pandemic in our nation. Millions of people are going to die. Bodies are going to pile up in the streets. The funeral homes will not be able to keep up. They're telling us that it's something like we've never seen before. What do? We sat there for hours. It was excruciating. As the elders were trying to do the very best they can, and let me say from the very onset, I am not Monday morning quarterbacking any decision elders made. It was unprecedented. They did the very best they could. Preachers were put in a position we have never been in before. We had nobody to ask. I couldn't make a phone call and say, what did you do when this happened? This was something no one had experienced. The eldership looked at Alan and I, and they said, we're going to have to do a temporary shutdown. And we're going to go to a hybrid worship service. And we're only going to allow certain men to come up, and we're going to put it on the stream. And we're going to ask people, you know, for safety concerns to stay home. But we won't prohibit them from coming, but we're just going to say for safety reasons, we think they need to stay home. When I went home and I told my family that, I was gutted. Nothing about that seemed right. But we did exactly what our elders told us to do. In fact, I supported them in it. And as we went through the next 8 weeks, I can tell you that every week that went by, I felt like I was missing something, and I was hollowed out. Because it's really hard to be a congregation when you're not congregating. And I was losing, I was losing part of who I was. But I noticed something that happened during that time, something that was frightening. Was that before that phone call, I was getting a record of 3 baptisms every single day. Brethren, from the end of March to the end of May, guess how many baptisms were reported from the churches? 0. In fact, I started reaching out. I would text. I said, hey, how's it going? Hey, Rob, we're not open right now. Hey, Rob, we're shut down. Hey, Rob, our doors are locked. Hey, Rob, we just can't get out right now. Brother, do you realize during that period of time, we had people going to meet their God prematurely, unprepared. Where was the Church of Christ? I can remember sitting in my living room, and it was bothering me so bad. I looked at my wife. I said, Nicole, this cannot stand. I said, we've got to evangelize. And so I looked at my calendar. The next church I was supposed to be at was the Covington Church of Christ, just north of Memphis. I called Wayne Dalrymple, one of the elders. I said, Brother Wayne, I said, you're on the schedule, first week of June. I said, I'm coming. He said, Rob, we're not even open. I said, I know, but I'm coming. And I said, Brother Wayne, I said, it can be one person, 50 people. There are a church of about 250 people. I said, but I'm going to be there. He said, Rob, I'm with you. He said, I agree. So let me talk to the other elders. Sure enough, we showed up. We did everything we were supposed to do. We fumigated and sanitized and did everything, you know, we're supposed to do, separated. 50 of us filled that auditorium and we evangelized. We taught. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And because of that effort, starting in the first week of June, we went to 32 churches of Christ and we piggybacked all over the country and we only had one cancellation. I remember getting back home. We had about a 2-week break and the elders called me again. They said, hey, Rob, can you come see us? And we were meeting at that time in June. We started again meeting. And they said, Rob, we've got a question for you and Alan. What do you think about doing a vacation Bible school this summer? I said, we'll probably be the only vacation Bible school in the United States of America, but I'm all in. And they said, we're going to spread the kids out. We think our children are suffering. They need, and this is an opportunity to evangelize. I said, it is. I said, let's make sure the community knows. Sure enough, we started that VBS, and I'm sitting in the pew, and I look over my left shoulder, and this man and his son are sitting right to my left. I didn't know who they were. So I immediately turned over and I said, hey, my name's Rob. Well, what's your name? He said, my name's Nick. And I said, Nick. I said, Nick Bethea. I said, what, Nick? I said, Nick, aren't you on our love list? Haven't we been sending you cards? And he said, you know, you have. My wife, Darby, she had surgery. And she had a kidney transplant, a liver transplant. You've been, y'all have, I mean, we got 50, 60 cards. And then you sent us this invitation for vacation Bible school. I said, well, is that why you're here? He said, yeah. He said, my son needs to know the Bible. And I said, well, man, this is wonderful. I said, well, we're so happy you're here. So we started talking. I got to know him. He's telling me a little bit about his life. And I said, Nick, I said, my family has a little custom. We always like to take people out to eat. And I said, would you and Darby maybe like to go get something to eat this week? I think there's one restaurant open. It's Calhoun's. It's right downtown Jacksonville. They make a good steak. And he said, you know what? He said, I think we'd like that. So sure enough, we met. We went to the restaurant. We sat around the table. And I do what I always do. I'm just trying to, I'm going to show interest in them. Acts 2:47, praising God and having the favor of the people. Brethren, if we want to convert people, you've got to show interest in them. They must know that you care about them. And so there's something that Brother Bates used to say. If you show interest in someone, they'll give you information. Now, I need information. I need to know, does he believe in God? Do they believe in Christ? Do they believe in the Bible? So I'm showing interest. And he's starting to talk to me about religion. And I finally looked over at Miss Darby, and sure, she's just touched by the love of the church. I said, Miss Darby, I said, I got a question for you. What do you think about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? She said, well, she says, I like it. They're really good people there. Now, if it was me and I was sitting in the chairs, I would write these three questions down in my notes. I'd write them down. Because I use these questions continually, and they almost always result in the Bible study. Now, I don't ask them until we've given favor to the people. In Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man. Jesus was favorable to people. People loved Jesus. Man, he spent time with sinners. In fact, Jesus said, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He would go to the lame, the halt, the blind, the poor. Jesus spent time with people. That's why they loved him. And so we're sitting with this family, and I asked the three transition questions. Number one, I said, what do you think about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? They said, we love it. They said, that church has reached out to us, and no one else did. But y'all did. I said, do you know a lot about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? I already know the answer to that question. It's no. they don't know a lot, but I want him to say it. He said, no, I really don't know a lot about it. I said, number three, these are called intentional questions. I said, would you like to know more about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? He said, you know, we kind of would. I said, you know, I just so happen to have these little booklets. And I said, would you guys like to maybe go and open a Bible? Do you have any plans? They said, no. I said, maybe we could open a Bible and we could just look at the church. They said, that would be wonderful. So we walked in, we went over, and I wasn't sure if they would be comfortable in our home. You know, COVID's going on. And I'm trying to figure out, where do I do this? So I just pulled into the Jacksonville Church of Christ. I went to the elder's office. I opened the door. No one was there. And I walked in. We sat around the table, and I said this. I said, Nick, I said, do you mind if I get a photograph of this? He said, well, sure, no problem. I said, I just want to demonstrate that you can do Bible studies in difficult times. He said, sounds good. So we took our photograph and then we started. Brethren, we started with a Bible study. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, it says, through thy precepts I gain understanding, therefore I hate every false way. If you want to bring someone to Christ, you need to sit down and do a Bible study. Because that's the power of God to save, Romans 1 and 16. In Psalm 19:7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. If we want people to come to the cross, we need to use the word of God. Stop telling people what to do and start showing them what to do. Open up your Bible. Study the Bible. We went through back to the Bible book when they loved it. Nick said, man, that was easy. I thought this would be really hard, but man, I understood everything in that in the Bible. We start with John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. It's not difficult. I said, Nick, what makes you free? So with the truth, I said, write it down. Then we went to John 4:24, John 17:17. And we just progressed. By the end of the study, I said, Nick, I said, what testament are we under today? He said, well, the New Testament. I said, now, are you sure we're not under the Old Testament? He said, no. He said, I studied it in the Bible. I said, okay. I said, let's do a second study. We scheduled the second study. We did the same thing. We went through the Church of Christ, Acts 8, verse 12. Philip taught them things concerning the kingdom of God. That's the Church of Christ. The name of Jesus Christ. That's the authority of Christ. And he taught them about salvation, and he baptized both men and women. That's what we do. Brethren, we have not changed our evangelistic methodology for 2,000 years. And I would suggest any Church of Christ deviating from the pattern of the Holy Word of God needs to stop. Brethren, this is the answer to church growth. It hasn't changed one word since it was authored. And what we need to do is take people back to Scripture, and we've got to study the Bible. We went through the Church of Christ. He loved it. It's enjoyable to hear people say things like this. Hey, Darby, why isn't our church taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? You know, it says it right there. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Brethren, let me give you something to think about. You cannot be who they were if you do not do what they did. And all I want to do this morning is be who they were. I want to be New Testament Christians. That's the only title I want. I don't want any man-made title. I just want to say, who are you? I'm a New Testament Christian. How'd you become one of those? I did what they did. I opened my Bible and I read the Word of God. And whatever it is that they did is what I did. And that's what I'm trying to teach. They loved it. It's simple. You don't need theology. You don't need college degrees. You don't need to know the Greek. Brethren, I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but the Church of Christ was not started by theologians. You know, when God started the church, he started it with fishermen. Just common people. Common sense. Our God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and all the churches of the saints. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. We can read the Bible, we can reason, and we can find the truth. And that's what we do. We went to our third study. Going through the study, you could see Nick and Darby started to realize something's wrong. And Nick and Darby said, Rob, there's something wrong here because what I'm reading in the Bible just doesn't line up with what I've done. I said, well, Nick, what do you think you need to do? because I don't tell people what to do. I said, well, let's read this verse. What is it that you need to do? He said, Rob, I think Darby and I need to be baptized. I said, we can do that immediately. Brethren, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul and cast them into hell. I'm asking you this morning, church, who do you fear more? Because I'm afraid that our times of difficulty, they're not done. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what next year is going to bring. But if we let the fear of this world control us, if we allow fear to permeate through our ranks and paralyze the church of Christ again, I don't know that we survive. Brethren, COVID gutted our ranks. The average church of Christ lost 25% of her membership during COVID. Brethren, they're not coming back. We have pled, we have prayed, we have done everything we can to bring them back. I want to share with you some things that we can do to strengthen our churches, for you, for us as people, to reach out into our community and rebuild. There's a book written called Hearts of Fire, and I don't know a lot about the author, but I know this quote is very poignant. He said, the average church member has heard 4,000 sermons. They have sung 20,000 songs. They participated in 8,000 public prayers, and they have converted zero sinners to Christ. Brother, if that pattern continues in our churches, that graph is going to come true. We must change. We must make a concerted effort within our congregations to reach out to the people that live around us, that live near our buildings, that live our members, and we need to develop a plan. I want to give you 7 things you can do. I want you to write these down. In fact, I think they're in your book, but write them down. It'll help you. I want to give you 7 things you can do as an individual Christian to bring someone to Christ. Number one, you need to learn how to do a personal Bible study. They're simple. I cannot think of a more simple method than back to the Bible. You literally just read a Bible passage and you fill in the blank. And so you don't have to go to preaching school. All you got to do is just let a person read. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What sets you free? Truth. Put it in the blank. I want to encourage everyone to learn how to do a Bible study using a method. Someone says, "Now, Rob, why can't we just read the Bible?" Let me be clear on the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, listen carefully to Jesus' words. Go ye therefore and read the Bible. Is that what it says? I'm for Bible reading. I think we should read our Bibles every day. Go ye therefore and read the book of Acts. That is not what it says. It says, go ye therefore and teach. I want you to take your Bibles to Luke 24, and I want to share something with you. And I think this will help put your minds at ease. Because there are some that will say, well, I don't need a method. I was that person. I said, I don't need a method. I probably needed a method more than anybody. Because preachers need methods. We need not to overteach, overtalk, and underteach. And sometimes we have a tendency to tell people everything we know. They don't need to know what we know. I want you to look at Luke 24. Let's go to verse number. This is right after the resurrection of Christ. And I want you to put yourself in this setting. He's in his resurrected state. He's walking around and he's listening to people and they're asking, hey, have you heard about Jesus? He's not there. The body's gone. Have you noticed? People are talking about, so he's listening to people. Let's notice what he says in verse 25 to this group. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? They don't know it's him. Now watch what he does. Now let's just suppose you're there, and you got out a piece of parchment and a writing device, and you say, well, I'm gonna record this. And here he goes. And beginning at Moses, this is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So beginning at Moses, And all the prophets, he goes through the prophets, he expounded unto them. And all the scriptures, he used the scripture, the things concerning himself. Let's just suppose you were there and you wrote down every passage he used. And let's suppose he started with Genesis 3:15 and he says, hey, the seed of woman. Then he went, I don't know, to Genesis 12, the Abrahamic covenant. He went to, I don't know, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 19, the prophet likened to Moses. And you're writing all of this down and you say, man, that was magnificent. He just proved he's the Christ from the scripture. You bound it, you printed it, and you called it back to the Bible. Brethren, I'm going to suggest that you need a method. I'm not suggesting this is the only method. Use open Bible study. Use Fishers of Men. Use Jewel Miller. But you've got to have something. So you're just winging it? No wonder we're not converting people. Because that's not how Jesus didn't just wing it. He had a plan. He knew if he was going to bring someone to the cross, if he was going to convince them that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, he's going to put the scriptures together in a way that is persuasive, that's convincing. Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of thy word is truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You gotta learn how to do a Bible study. You gotta have some tool. I'm not suggesting that everyone here is going to be an expert in this, but doesn't everyone need to have a tool? Let's go to number two. I tell you, something happened in 2020. I got a phone call by a man named Eric Sykes. I didn't know him. He lives in Baltimore, Maryland. And Brother Sykes said, hey, Brother Whitaker. He says, man, I've been watching these videos of evangelism. And man, I was baptizing quite a few people until this COVID happened. He said, Rob, he says, let me tell you what we've done here in Baltimore. Now, not every state is equal. And we did some traveling up to the Northeast. I can remember one time we looked at each other and we said, man, we've got to get a bathroom. Brethren, I didn't think I was ever going to find any place that would allow me to use a bathroom as during COVID in the Northeast. Everything was locked down like you've never seen. It was a little different. They were very strict up in those states. Eric Sykes says, Rob, we're really struggling. He says, what I've decided to do is do virtual Bible studies. Brother, let me demonstrate how things changed in our country. How many of you, and I want you to be honest. Now, I'm in Huntsville, Alabama, so I'm probably going to get a higher percentage. A lot of engineers sitting in the audience. I know that. You're analyzing me right now. And let me try this. How many of you, be honest with me, before COVID ever came to be light, how many of you use Zoom? Raise your hand. Before COVID. A few. Now, put your hands down. How many of you know about Zoom now? Raise your hands. Isn't that amazing? We were heading back from Idaho, and we just trained a church in Buell, Idaho. And my phone was sitting on my vent, and all of a sudden, this 90-some-year-old woman, she appears on my phone, Zooming me. And I hit accept, and she says, Rob, how do you like that food we prepared you on the way home? Brethren, if a 90-year-old woman can Zoom, anybody can Zoom. Eric says, Rob, I'm doing virtual Bible studies. I'm using Zoom. I've taken the PowerPoints or the back to the Bible, and I just put them on the screen. Rob, we baptized dozens of people. You know, I've been asked for years, what do I do with Grandma who lives in Montana? A virtual Bible study. What do you do with someone who has work hours and you can't just seem to align your hours? Virtual Bible study. What do you do with someone who just won't leave their house? They're afraid to... Virtual Bible study. In fact, I got a phone call from Sherry Spencer. Ted Spencer is a preacher in Missouri. And she said, Rob, I've got a sister and she lives out in the East Coast. And Rob, I've been wanting to do a Bible study, but I can't leave. I can't leave Missouri. I said, I understand, Sherry. She said, can you do a Zoom study? She says, what is that? I explained it to her. And she did it. She calls me 3 weeks later. She says, Rob, my sister wants to be baptized. Do you know anybody? I said, Eric Sykes. I called him and he went to baptize her. That's your second tool. You ready for your third one? We can use digital studies. This is for those who are not comfortable. Maybe you say, I don't know if I can talk to somebody else. All right, let's use a digital resource. This is a Bible study in a digital format. And I know some of you are looking at that. You guys are looking, what is that? That's called a DVD. They were very popular when I was growing up. On the back of that DVD cover is a QR code. You understand QR code? All right. All you got to do is put it on your phone, and the same thing happens. You're going to get a digital Bible study. And so now we have digital resources. And so digital Bibles now. Now listen, I would not start with number three, because a personal Bible study has a conversion rate of 80 to 90%. This does not. But if this is all I could do, if all I could do was do a digital study, I'd do it. Because I know that Bible study is what people need. And I'm going to use the tool that's most effective. So I'm going to start with number one. Then I'm going to go to number two. We're converting. We still convert people using virtual studies. We use it with people overseas. We use it from people who live in places that are far and I can't find an evangelist. But then there's number three. And these are things you just hand out. You never know when they might watch. They have no pressure. No one's forcing them. They're sitting at home, and maybe they see that gift you've given them. They say, you know, I'll give that a try. I'll go ahead and follow along. Now, believe the Bible is for people who don't believe in God. So if you don't believe in God, you don't start with back to the Bible. They don't believe in God. So you start with another study. Back to the Bible, does it matter? Digital studies. There are others, but those are three good ones. Number four, group studies. Now, this has become very popular in our land. What people like to do is gather together at work, and they have a devotional or maybe a little Bible study group. Sometimes ball teams have these. Local communities of subdivisions have a Facebook page, and they say, hey, I'm going to have a Bible study at my house. And let me tell you about Brandon Glover near Jasper, Alabama. Something exciting is happening right now near Jasper, 10 minutes from Jasper, Alabama. Brandon Glover remodeled an old church. No one used it. It was sitting there. He bought it. He remodeled it. Then he put out into the community local newspaper, we're going to do a Bible study, a group study every Tuesday night. Brother, they have so many people coming. Now listen to this. The local community church preacher showed up. He wanted to know where his members were going because he was missing them. What Brandon is doing out there is incredible. Brandon knows something. He's gone through our school. Here's what Brandon knows. And you need to know this, because group studies are very problematic if you don't know this. When you're doing a group study, you need to do a general Bible study. Take the book of John, study it. Take the book of Matthew, study it. You don't take questions, because the problem one person has becomes the problem everybody has. Brandon said there have been people, Rob, he said all of these folks are not Christians, every one of them. He had over 54 last Tuesday night. He said, Robin, someone came up to me and they said, Brandon, I'm glad you don't allow this to become a free-for-all, because if it was, I wouldn't learn a thing. Here's what Brandon's doing. He sees that this couple right here is very interested, and they're following and taking notes. He gets to know them. And Brandon says, hey, would you guys like to come over to my house this week? I'm gonna smoke some barbecue. Brandon, he knows how to do it. And then, of course, he invites him over, and he says, I've got another study I think you guys would like. I just so happen to have, let me see, these little booklets. He's already baptized two of them. And he's going to go through that list. And that's not the only example. I can give you examples of other churches that maybe use a community center or something, and they have this general Bible study. And they use that to reach out, because they may not want to come to a local church building. They're afraid. But if you make it in a neutral site, in a general book of the Bible, they'll come. Let's go to number five. I don't know why during COVID every congregation of our Lord didn't go to the library, dust off the old John Hurt series, or grab the House to House series, Bible correspondence courses, or the Apologetic Press series, and we mailed these to every single person we knew. Brother, let's be prepared next time. The next time, if we go through something like this again, let's send out Bible correspondence courses, not to Tanzania, I'm all for it, not to Africa, let's keep doing it, let's send them to Huntsville. Let's send them to every friend we've got. You can still do that. Let's say you took your friend list and you sent a correspondent, this lesson one, to every person on your list. What's the worst thing that can happen? I can tell you, Bobby used to say this. He would say, I promise you, I like my way of doing things better than your way of not doing things. Brethren, a little bit of something is better than a whole lot of nothing. Let's do something. If this is all you can do, if all you can do is take a lesson one and send it to your neighbor, a lesson one and send it to your lifelong friend, a lesson one and send it to your, if that's all you can do, at least do something. You never know what will happen. There's been countless, thousands, tens of thousands of people who have come to the cross because someone sent them a correspondent. If we can do it in Africa, we can do it in Huntsville. Number six. Give them a book. Give them a book like a muscle and a shovel. Conformed, reborn, just give them something. Let them read it. You know, a lot of folks out there, and they love to read. I mean, they go through books a week. And it's, hey, I've got a book. Hundreds of thousands have been sold. It's a great book. It's called Conformed, Reborn, and Transformed. Lance Mosier, spiritual. I said, read this. What do you think about it? I mean, here's an opportunity again to connect with people. And no, not everyone will read this. Number six isn't for everyone. But I bet some of you right now have a friend or a family member somewhere and you can participate. Number seven. Brethren, let's give out a track. Let's use house to house, heart to heart. Let's put a door hanger on our neighbor's door that has a QR code on the back with a Bible study. I mean, I realize this is not the most effective, but this is going to get people that you don't know, cold contacts. They're not coming. They're not going to listen to GBN. They're not going to listen to your YouTube channel. These are people that no one knows, and you just start handing things out. If that's all you can do, if you go to the doctor every week, take a track, put it on the table, and leave it. Take one of those World Video Bible School gift cards, put it on the table. But brethren, I'm pleading with you this morning. You've got to do something. We can't just wait for them to come. Brethren, if build it and they will come work, your church building would overflow. You have one of the most beautiful church buildings I've ever seen. Brethren, they're not coming. The Great Commission says go. It doesn't say come. We must go. We got home that summer and took a little break. And Kate Summers called me, and he's the associate minister at Jacksonville. He said, hey, Rob, we got a contact from house to house, heart to heart. This woman, her name's Tony, she called us. I said, great. I said, Rob, she says she wants to come to church. He said, she doesn't live far from me. I can pick her up. I said, man, that's great. I said, I can't wait to meet her. Sure enough, Cage brings her, and we were out of town that particular Sunday. Then he talks to her, takes her out to eat. That's what we're supposed to do. Brings her back to her apartment. I said, Kate, tell me about her. He said, Rob, she's lonely. Rob, she just wants someone to talk to. And Rob, she wants to come back. I said, Kate, would it be okay if we picked her up? He said, sure. So Nicole and I, the next week, picked her up and started talking to her. And we said, Tony, would you like to go get something to eat? She said, sure. And so we're talking to her. I said, Tony, tell me what's going on in your life. She says, I'm really lonely. I said, well, why? She said, well, I've been locked in my apartment for 3 months. Now, my family told me if I left my apartment, I'm going to die. She said, Rob, if I stay in my apartment, I'm going to die. She says, Rob, I need to go to church. You're the only one open. I said, well, Tony, I'm glad to meet you. I said, we're so glad. So immediately we put her on our prospect list and started sending the cards, lots of cards, telling Tony, come back. We love you. So good to see you. And so she's getting those every single day. And then one day I'm sitting there talking to Tony. I said, hey, Tony, I said, what do you got planned this week? Because she says, oh, nothing. It's my birthday. I said, whoa, happy birthday. She says, no, it's not. She says, no one will celebrate. My family thinks I'm crazy going to church. I said, Tony, we'll celebrate. So we put a little birthday party together. And I can remember sending Jared to the door. He had a balloon. We gave her a balloon and bear. And then others, people from church send her stuff. And then I said, Tony, how about we take you to the Red Lobster for your birthday? She said, that'd be great. Well, I knew that she needed a friend. So I called one of our other new converts, Kim Bullock. I said, Kim, I said, would you come with us? I need you to help me convert Tony Adams. Kim says, Rob, what do you want me to do? I said, just be Kim. In other words, I just want you to talk. She likes to talk. And I said, just talk to Tony. Well, they became friends. They would call each other every single day. And as I was talking to Tony, I said, Tony, I said, what do you think about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? Have you written these down yet? She said, well, she said, that's the nicest church I've ever been to. And I said, Tony, I said, tell me, I said, do you know a lot about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? She says, not a lot. I said, Tony, would you like to know more about the Jacksonville? She said, I kind of would. I said, I just so happen to have these little booklets. And I said, so we go over to her apartment. I took a picture of this. I don't know what it is about grandmotherly figures, but they always have the TV trays. We went to the closet. We pulled them out. We set everything up. I said, Tony, by the way, why are you coming to Jacksonville? She says, well, I'm a Jehovah Witness. And she says, my church is closed. Good, keep them closed. Brethren, I want every church that doesn't teach the truth of the gospel of Christ to close their doors. But the Church of Christ needs to open her doors and let's never shut them again. Because that's how we evangelize. We sat across the table and we started. She loved it. We went through book one. She said, I didn't know I wasn't under the Old Testament. She said, that was really simple. I said, Tony, could we do another one? She said, yeah, we could. So we came back and did another one. Then we got to book number three, and we're going through the Ethiopian eunuch. And I stopped. I said, Tony, I said, tell me about you growing up. Did you go to church? She said, yeah. She said, I went to the Salvation Army church. Brethren, it is a church. And then she said this. She said, Rob, she said, they sprinkled me. I said, okay. I said, Tony, let's read Acts 8. She started reading it. Brethren, she gets it. I didn't have to say a thing. Tears swelled up in her eyes. She looks up, and this is what she told me. She says, Rob, she says, I've never done that before. I was sprinkled. She said, Rob, do you think I need to be immersed? I said, well, Tony, what does it say? Oh, Rob, but I'm afraid of the water. I said, Tony, I've been baptizing people for 25 years. I've never lost one yet. I said, would it be okay if I called Cade Summers? I said, maybe I'll get on the right hand. You can get on the left hand. And she said, yeah. She said, that would work. We went down to the church building. We took her confession. I said, Tony, I'm going to take your confession. Hold your breath. I'm going to put this little napkin over your nose. It'll be real quick. She says, okay, Rob. So I put her down. We baptized her, name of the Father, Son. We went down into the water. As soon as she went down into the water, she opened her mouth. She came up just coughing. She couldn't talk. I was patting her on the back. I'll never forget what she said. She looked up at me. She said, preacher, you tried to kill me. Brethren, if we don't evangelize, we're going to fossilize. I got that phrase from Brother Wendell Winkler. He said it over 30 years ago. It was true then, and it's true today. Brethren, may I say it's never been more true? May God bless the Huntsville Church of Christ. I hope you found something in this lesson that you can do. There's seven things. Seven things you can do. Surely one of those you can do. I hope you'll stay for the Bible class. I've got some teaching and training to do. But maybe this morning you're visiting. Maybe someone's done a Bible study with you already. Maybe you know what you need to do. So we're going to extend an opportunity for you to walk forward. And as you walk forward, we'll take your confession based upon your repentance and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. Today could be the greatest day in your life. Brethren, evangelism starts right here. It starts with us. An ability to go out and to teach and to help people learn about the love of God at the cross of Christ. We're asking you this morning to come to the cross. Bow your head, bend your knee, say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that? That's what we're asking. Would you be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism, contacting his blood, having your sins washed away? It's the greatest life in the world. It's the abundant life of John 10:10. Maybe as a child of God, you've not been the Christian you need to be. You just need prayers for strength. The elders will pray for you. you've fallen away, you can be restored. This song will be led, an opportunity to come, and we beg you and plead with you, come together as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.